to love the Lord.
This is what we're going to be looking at this morning.
What is it to love the Lord?
There's an understanding in Scripture that to love God is to do as He says. There's a misconception in the world, however, that says, I love you. Like when you say, I love TV, I love something. Like I love to do something. Love is a very important thing. It's required of the Lord. When we say, I love you, what are we saying? Are we letting an individual know that we care for them, or that we have a deep affection towards them? Now, there's a perception on what true love is that this world has. And we say, I love you, but is it vanity? Do we say, I love you for the right reason? Is it just because we have an emotion towards someone? Now, I looked up the definition of love in Webster's Dictionary, and it says it's a deep affection towards an individual or thing. But today we're going to look at God's Word on exactly what love is. We're going to see in His Scripture what is required of us to say that we love God and how He wants us to love Him. Today we'll be looking at three topics, or one topic, but 3 points in this lesson. The first one is keeping God's commandments. The second one is the Lord weighing the unknown. And the third will be the fruit of the Christians. And we're going to see how love ties all three of these things. Keeping God's commandments. How is that love? Can a man say that he believes or loves God if he does not do what God says? No, he cannot. He cannot. We're going to look in Scripture why this is so. And if you don't mind, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And you're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. Starting in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that begot, loveth Him also that begot of Him. But this we knew, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now Scripture is very plain right here. It tells us exactly how we should think. There's no misinterpretation of the translation. The Word of God is very simple. We're going to observe verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That's simple. That's very simple. Paul addresses later in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love is a type of work that is done for an individual. It is to place one above oneself. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. In this verse, we see that the love of God is to do as God says. There is no separation between the two. You cannot say that you love God and not do as He says. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. We're going to go to 1 John. We're going to look in chapter 4 at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So to say that we love God, we must do His commandments. For us to love God, we have to be born of God. An individual who's not born of God cannot say that they love. You have to have salvation. You have to walk with the Lord to truly love. It is impossible to do these things without God. God's Word says it's not possible. We have to be a child of God to love. It's necessary. We see this in Scripture. If you don't mind, we're going to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 again. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." It's very plain. Very simple. It's there. For us to love one, for us to love God, we must be born of God. God's plan of salvation, to hear, to know the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have to know, you have to hear, which means to read His Scripture, to hear someone talk about God. You have to hear, because you have to know somehow. For you to know that there is a God, you have to hear. Believe. You have to believe that you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in the inspired Word of God. These things, they have to be in your heart. You have to repent. God's Word shows us what sin is. He shows us that we should desire after following Him. You repent from those things. A confession that Jesus Christ did die for our sins. You confess these things before men, and then you're baptized. Baptism is putting off the old man and being raised up as new, as Jesus Christ. And then, this is where a lot of us are at today, faithfulness till the day we die. Faithfulness. To say that we love God, we have to have salvation. To continue to abide in the grace of God, we have to have faithfulness. Love is a very strong statement. It's used way too much. Saying, I love food, I love TV, I love. It's a very overused word. But God sanctifies it in His Word as a holy thing, and it should be treated that way. You love your brethren. You love God. The Word of God says, the love of God is to do His commandments. The Lord weighs the unknown. If you look in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 5, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." I looked up the definition of grievous. It means something bad. It's an adjective to describe something of something bad, very severe or serious. Now, the Lord weighs the unknown. Now, if we are to love God, and the love of God is to keep His commandments, why would that in Scripture be connected and His commandments are not grievous? They're not bad. The Lord weighs the unknown. Now, we're saying that the love of God is to keep His commandments, but if you do them with the wrong heart, if you're not doing them out of a deep affection, doing them for the Lord, not for own personal glory, not for to be seen, for vanity, but doing these things for God, then we're doing them in vain. The Word of God says, and His commandments are not grievous. They are not bad. His commandments are a holy thing, and we should desire to follow after Him and do what He says. The Lord weighs the unknown inside of a man which cannot be seen. If we hold inside of our heart wickedness and have a vain outward appearance, then the Lord will weigh our heart. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, if you would like to, you can turn there with me. I'm going to turn to 21, verse 2. It says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." And then in 16, verse 2, it says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." If we do things to have an outward appearance, and our heart is wicked, then it is vanity. The fruit of a Christian. Now, there are deceivers out there in this world. There are individuals who do things that are in vanity. They do not do them out of the love of God. And that's sin. If you don't mind turning me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 15 through 17. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. If we know them by their fruit, God certainly does. You know an individual by how they act. If a man says he loves God, and his fruit doesn't show, the Word of God, it says. It says we know them by their fruit. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Then it says, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. We just read in Scripture, it is impossible to love unless you are of God. A bad tree will have bad fruit, and a good tree will have good fruit. They will bear fruit of our Lord. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine. And all fruit that is done through Jesus Christ. None for our glory. It is all for God. An action done out of love towards God is to do something for the Lord. It's not for your glory, it's for God's glory. Let's read on. Verses 25 through 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came. Now this is trials and tribulations. This is an absorption to observe an individual's fruit. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. This was a wise man who listened to God. Let's go back to verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What is our foundation? What is your foundation? We understand what the Scripture says. We're going to look at some fruit. We're going to see if we're listening to God. And what he says. We're going to observe the foundation that we're established on. If you don't mind turning me to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 13 through 26. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another, putting oneself before you. Love is long-suffering. We'll get to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed, and ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We're under grace, the law of liberty. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. The Word of God says to be sober-minded. Revealings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Later we're going to look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And an interesting thing it says when it starts describing the fruit of individuals who bear the bad fruit, it says, be not deceived. You have to overcome these things to enter the kingdom of heaven. If we do all that the Lord says, all, we are unprofitable servants. But these things must be overcome. Do not be deceived, is what the Word of God, says. We're going to look at some fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Later, we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And a lot of this is what the Apostle Paul is saying is love. But the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If you don't mind, let's turn over to one chapter, and we'll read verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Meditate on heaven. Meditate on those things which are godly so that you sow to the Spirit. When your actions are out of love for God, you're sowing to the Spirit. But when you commit sins, you're reaping corruption. A double-minded man. If you say you love God and you do not do as He says, Ecclesiastes says a double-minded man is like a boat in waves. You are unstable in everything that you do. It will corrupt your home life. It will corrupt your ability to think, your morals, everything. Everything that you do in this life, if you say you love God and live a double-minded life, you will be unstable in all that you do. The Word of God says so in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you don't mind, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not enter the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Why is this found in Scripture? The Word of God does everything for a reason. There's nothing. He doesn't do anything in vanity. Everything that God does is for a reason. Why did He put this in Scripture? The Word of God says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's very important. Do not be deceived. That means some shall be deceived. That's why that's in here. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not enter the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. Well, the Word of God says you shall know them by their fruit. These things can be seen from if one sows to the Spirit, we can tell. When we're looking for an elder, when we're trying to exhort brethren, the Word of God says in Matthew that you will know them by their fruit. Be not deceived. Those who practice these sins shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The conclusion. If you don't mind, turn with me to James chapter 2. We will read verses 17 through 26. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how the works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The connection between belief and works is not a mysterious thing. It is love. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sound brass or a tinkling cymbal. Basically, he's saying, though he does these things and has not love, it's vanity. And though I have the gift of all prophecies and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though he has all this knowledge, Solomon was blessed with great knowledge by God. He didn't love God enough to do and to put to work this knowledge and wisdom that he had. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though outwardly I have done something that seems good, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profit me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love vaunteth not itself. If you love God, you wish not for your will, but you wish to do the Lord's will. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. If we say we love God, that is faith. The Word of God says that faith is the things hoped for, not yet seen. Love endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." To review, keeping God's commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "The love of God is to keep His commandments." The Lord weighs the unknown. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, it shows us, through Solomon's inspired wisdom given by God, that the Lord weighs the heart. The fruit of a Christian should show in self-perception and the perception of our brothers and sisters whether they love God or not. And we looked at the true meaning of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is not some vanity that we seek after, some TV screen, it is not a temporary enjoyment that we receive from something that is of this world. Love is of God. The Word of God says that the only way that you can love is to be of God. It's the only way. Scripture shows us that. If you want to know what love is, if you want to follow after God's plan, if you want to say that you love God, do as He says. Follow His commandments. You have heard the Word of God. If you believe in your heart the things that is written in His Scripture, and you repent from the things that you do that are sinful, confess these things, confess that you know who our Lord and Jesus Christ is, and be baptized, where that old man is buried and you're raised anew, and live faithful for the rest of your life. And the church is here to strengthen each other so that we may live faithful for the rest of our life. If you have had a problem and you can't say that you love God because you're not following after His commandments and you're backsliding, please come as we stand and sing. Come so that we may help you.